I'm kind of still on my holiday clothes because, for those who don't know, I'm a teacher, so I'm still on holiday. One more week, as Dan said last week, for those parents who've had to put up with their kids for the last 3 or 4 weeks, one more week and you're done. My holiday has consisted of this for the last 3.5 weeks. And this isn't me saying, look how good on holiday as I'm actually probably begging for your mercy. I've been on holiday for 3.5 weeks with 4 kids, 1 wife, in a car, doing 2,500 miles around Europe, which is great, apart from your car is quite small when there's 4 kids in it. But what it's allowed me to do is, because I've not been here for the last few weeks, it's allowed me to just put YouTube on when I've gone for a run and listen to the last 3 or 4 weeks. Now, if you haven't been here, and I know they always say this, go back and listen to them, genuinely do. Because if you have been here, and I'm going to quickly bullet point them, because over these last 2 weeks, just by listening to the range of people we have in our church, allows anybody to realise that we have all been commissioned for something. Because we've had somebody who is 16 and starting high school, and I'll come to her in a minute, through to, and I don't know how old she was, because I never found out, from Brenda over in Horwich, who's been going to church for decades. So it's gone from young to old. We've got international people travelling from the other side of the world who are now in the Northwest. We've got people who have come from Scotland and come down. We've got Andrew, who would make a good vicar if you listen to what he said through it. So we'll just go through this. We had Rhonda, who just said about being available for others and praying, and about a weird cat that walked backwards. Again, if you don't know, you have to go and listen to it. Gwen talks about tithing, and I'm just going to mention this, and I know it's just come off the back of the offering bit, and you're going, you're just wanting your money. If you're a teacher and you're a doctor and you tithe, we might just have to go back and look at our pay slip in September. And I only say that because, and I'm not being political here, because I know some of you are, because we've been given a pay rise, we might, and lots of us might have done this, we might have set up our standing order ages ago and said, there you go, God, tithing 10%, brilliant, we're done, not a problem. And the heart of that is fantastic, because you set it up. But when you set it up, you forget. So now, and those of us who are fortunate enough to be in this position, we might have set it up at 10%, and through not being anything other than just getting on with life, it might now be 7 or 8%. And that's just for us to take, and that's not for you to go and scrutinise, that's just for me, because I was thinking about that when Gwen was talking about it. We've had Alison, who set stuff up in the NHS, who just went and did something because she saw a need, so she did it. We've got John, international rugby player, coming over, using his experience to talk into a world that there's no chance I could get into. There's no chance any of us could get into. He's on telly, he's playing rugby, he's an international player coming here. And we can't get into that world. We got Dan Pop, who was talking about God's word not returning void and going through the water cycle. It was like a science lesson when he was going through it. So we've got that aspect. And then we had Nardos. Now, I don't know if she's in. And if she isn't, she can watch it on YouTube or she can be in the second service. When I watched it and listened to it, she was sat on here with a lawyer and an international rugby player. And she basically said, my story's not as good as theirs. I didn't think this, didn't me? But my daughter starts flipping it. Sorry. Where's that come from? Didn't expect that. My daughter starts her high school in September. I might move on quickly in a minute. Flip me. Now, I know there's other parents in here whose kids go to that school. I'm moving on. Gee whiz. No. I didn't expect that. But when I was listening to it, it hit me and I thought, I'm going to get them mick taken out of me now when they see this from work. People at school in year 7, in year 8, in year 9 will look at her and go, I can do that. They're not going to see me in my school where I work and go, my dad's telling a kid off again. He's an idiot. But there's people there. So if she's here, it says in the Bible, don't despise small beginnings. So wherever you are, she might be here going, yeah, I've not got a story because I'm not an international rugby league player and I don't set up orphanages. But who has a 16? No one. So if you've seen it, if you're in here, do not despise small beginnings, because there's people coming after you who will see what you can do. And then to me, everyone's given a quick story. I've worked at the same high school in Bolton for 19 years now. I start my 20th season next week. in Farnworth. I'm a missionary to the people of Farnworth and the people of Bolton coming from Wigan. One of my jobs is, they've asked me to be a head of year again this year. So my job is, I get to help and work with young people, whether they enjoy school, and more so for the people who maybe don't enjoy school and maybe struggle a little bit. I get to work with agencies, so people who come in from outside of school to help them. I get to work with parents. I get to work with loads of different things. My range of job is brilliant. And I know the old saying, those who can't teach, teach PE. So I'm a PE teacher. I'll let you work out which way that falls and where that comes under. But I get the honour and the privilege of working with people every day. Every day is completely different. I work from 11 to 16. Now, if you have a child who's 11 to 16 or about to come to that or have been through it, it's not the world we grew up in at all. It's a completely different beast. I would not, for all the tea in China, want to be a teenager now. At all. If you have a teenager, and this is where some of you will agree with me, some of you won't, if they have a phone, please check it. And I say that as a parent more than anything else, because there's so much access that people will, and you might say, well, I'm breaking trust stuff. You're the parent. Please, parent. No, as someone who sits with kids every day, because someone just says something on social media. When I was at school, you'd fall out, you'd go home, you'd forget about it, you'd come back and move on. It doesn't stop now. It's constant, it's constant, it's constant, it's all the time. Sorry, that's not in my notes. That's a secondary thing. I've been there 19 years now, and loads of people sometimes say to me, you're going to retire from here. And I might do. I might not do. Sometimes you might be in your workplace and your commission, or you might not even have a job at the moment, and you're saying, but God asked me to do this and I've done it and then nothing's happened. Quick question for us. Have we carried on doing what God asked us to do, or have we done it, stopped, and then, next God, I'm done? And God's saying, no, carry on. And when you've done what I need you to do here, then maybe the next thing might come forward. Because then when we're doing stuff, we're in a position to be ready. Because it says in the Bible, it says in 1 Kings 17 verse 7, it asks about, it's a story. Let me go to it. It says about Elijah and a widow. And Elijah wants some bread. And he goes to this lady and he says, sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have instructed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gates, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he said, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord, your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And that might be a bit like us in our commissioning, in our workplace, in our job, in our life, in whatever. God saying, can I have some bread? And you go, I've not got bread. Yet. She had oil. She had flour. She had the things to make the bread, but she didn't realise what she had. And sometimes we can say, God's saying, oh, I want you to do this. And you're going, but I can't do it because I've not got what I need. And God's going, yeah, you have. And God wouldn't ask you to do it if he wasn't going to help you do it. He won't say, can you do this for me? And then go on, do it. It's like me asking one of my kids to do something, knowing they can't do it, and then just sitting and watching and saying, come on. God's not like that. God will ask us to do something knowing that he will help us. And you may have been asked, but one of the best words that we can have as Christians is a three-letter word that says yet. And sometimes we just have to remind ourselves, yet. I cannot make the bread yet. I don't have this capacity yet. I don't have whatever I need yet. Or we might have just stopped. Excuse me. We might have just stopped looking. Sorry, my paper's not going. Why is it not turning? I'm going to have to make it up in a minute. You think I'm joking, don't you? All of those people who were talking and giving their stories, they all had stories over time. It wasn't a case of this happened, then this happened. It was a case of when Andy Williamson was a kid, he thought, I'm going to be a lawyer. And he had all these things put in his place. But he kept saying, no, I want to be a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer yet. I've not got this yet. And then how he envisaged it being was completely different to how it actually has unfolded. He set up orphanages. He's done lots of things all around the world. Like when he was a young man, he probably thought, I just want to go in call like you see on telly and do these things where they walk in and put a briefcase down and then walk out. All these different things that we envisage it to be might not be what we want it to be. But we have to be in a position where we are putting ourselves out there so we can say, okay, let's see what we can do, God. Because there's another part early on in the Bible, in Genesis. In Genesis 12, verse 1 to 4. And it's about Abram. And it says this. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people and your father's house to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. Then verse 4 says this. So Abram went. Doesn't have a big discussion. Doesn't say, yeah, but how's this going to look? Where am I going to live? How am I going to get paid? What are my kids going to do? How's it going to be in my life? It says that, and he says, Abram went. As the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions he had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. 75 years of age, he set out. I'm hoping I'm retired long before then. But some of us, when we retire, some of us think, if I get to this bit, yeah, I can just stop and I can breathe. Yeah. Abram was 75 and he just went on the next part of his journey and the next part of his life. Because then it goes on to loads of stories about Abram and Abraham and lots of things. But then if we flash to the New Testament in Hebrews, I just want us to remind us of this. It says, faith in action. It starts chapter 11 within my Bible. And this is sometimes what we might need when we've been in a position or we've been doing something for a long, long, long time. 19 summers getting up and then going back to the high school is a long time in one job, especially in education. No, not many people stay there. And why have I stayed there? Love my job. I enjoy my job. I've not been told to do anything different. Sometimes we just have to stay doing what we're doing. Rather than going looking for something, do what we're asked to do. Do what we're asked to do. Talk to our neighbour. Make our neighbour a meal and take it round and knock on the door. Ask them what they're doing. You can do stuff dead easy now. And back to modern technology, there's sometimes one of my other roles in life is I help run Turton Tigers under nines football team. I was one of those dads who went along, wanted to watch his son. And then when they found out what I did, I wish I'd said RE teacher, not PE teacher. And I just got involved. But that then allows other people to get involved. So what we do is every now and again, if there's something on with the kids' work, and it's sent out on WhatsApp, snapshot, send it on WhatsApp to the other parents. My kids go in this, anyone won't come? All of those of you, and I'll say this politely, all of those of you in the mummy mafia on WhatsApps, and if you're laughing, it's you because you know what I'm on about. All the parents on WhatsApp, I keep off that. Liesl's great at it, she has loads of them. If something comes on at church, just send it out. You've got an open window into 30-odd people's families that'll say, oh, it's Halloween. I don't want my kids to be running around streets. Oh, this has come through my WhatsApp. I'm going to send them to kids' church and they're going to do something with neon lights. That's nothing. And I know sometimes it can be awkward because there's times at school, and I have to be really careful when I do this because some of my friends, like I say, I've worked there that long. When I first started there, they thought it was funny if we went out or we went anywhere. Oggy, go to the bar, buy a pint of water and you'll turn it into wine and we can all get hammered for nothing. My other mates used to call me Ned Flanders off The Simpsons. I used to get Moses. I've had it all. But over time, they know, actually, some of them have been here. Because over time, I said, we've got this on. Do you want to come? Yeah, I'll have a nosy. And loads of people are nosy and they want to know what the building's like inside. So if you've got, you know somebody, even if it's a kid who is old enough for youth or can come to dance or does something on a Tuesday night, we have a great resource on a Tuesday night. Loads of kids should be coming to it. If your kids can't come because of different reasons, then fine. But we have a kids club on a Tuesday night. bring them down. There's kids from my kids' school come. We didn't invite them. Someone else must have done. But they come down and say, oh, I recognise you. And it makes things easier and the whole process is a lot easier. So when we're doing this, I distracted from Abraham, sorry. Abraham, later on in the Bible, it comes back in the same chapter. It goes to chapter 11, verse 8. It says this. By faith, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, this is Abraham, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Your commission, you might have thought, do you know what? It's going to look like this. It's going to be strong. It's going to have foundations. It's going to be this. And you've got there and it's a tent. I don't know if you've seen social media this week with that storm, Lillian, and some of the tents and Leeds and Reading Festival and people who are on holiday with the tents just blowing away. I will never go camping again in my life. I did it as a kid. And when we go on holiday and we're in a cabin or a caravan, I say to Liesl, you want to go to a tent? Imagine that. Abraham had set up, he'd gone and lived in a land as a stranger, as a foreigner. He was expecting to be made into a nation. All my descendants are going to be these mighty people. And he was living in a tent. Sometimes our commissioning is to maybe not see what we're commissioned for. And I'll try and explain it using Walt Disney, ironically. On October the 1st, 1971, 5 years after passing away, they opened Disney World. And a reporter, this might be an urban legend, but it fits, so it's nice. A reporter went to Mrs. Disney, I don't know what her name was, Mrs. Walt Disney, and said, it's a shame he didn't live to see this. And apparently, her reply was, it's because he saw it that it's here. And if we go to Abraham, it says here, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. So Abraham had gone thinking, I'm going to have this city. It's going to have foundations. It's going to be this. It's going to be the other. He gets there. He's living in a tent and he doesn't quite see it, but he sees it. And he sees it so it can happen. Just to finish, I want us to look at possibly two things and how we can live it. Can the band come up for me, please? In Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16, it says this. You are salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I went yesterday to football with me, two of my kids. Went watching Wigan. Afterwards, we went and had a chippy tea, like we do. And I always don't have salt on my chips. I just never do, because it's unhealthy, apparently. Yesterday, I just forgot. I said, yeah. And the salt was on the chips, and I forgot how nice salt was. I forgot. It's nice, isn't it, really? You only realise how nice it is when you've not had it. And sometimes we can do that. We can bring flavour to people's situation. We have to be salt. We can separate things. The second part of it talks about light. And in that light, I just want us to try something. It might work, it might not. Can we just dim the lights for me, please? I've got an image that I'd like to see. And Cookie kind of referenced it earlier on. With me being away, I was fortunate to not be here when everything was happening. But I could see it on social media. And it's been thinking about it all the time, because obviously I'm going back into a high school where there's over 1,000 people, lots of different ethnicities, lots of different races, lots of different beliefs, lots of different cultures, lots of different everything. But you will all do that in your situation. Can that picture come on for me, please? I'm standing in the middle of it, sorry. I found this morning on my phone. I've had it for ages. The candle says otherwise to the darkness. That means where we are, Gal, can you do me a favour, please? If you look over there, Gal's put his torch on for me. Because over there, his torch can shine. His light can shine. Paul Murphy, can you get your phone out for me? You've not got it? Oh, he's a good man. If you've, he's not got his phone out. But I want us to do something now. Ah, Pete, your phone's out. I saw it flash up in your face then. Can you put your torch on for me? Thank you. Can we all just put our torches on your phone and lift it up? Because all of a sudden, there's a lot more light in this room. There's a lot more people can see. So Gal's light was on over there. It means nothing over here to Clive. Because Clive's not where that darkness is. But Gal is. So now just have a look around. In this room, there is lots of lights. There is a lot of light. And sometimes one light on its own doesn't do much. But when those lights get together, more things can happen. We can see more now. So wherever you are and whatever you are doing, it doesn't necessarily matter how it works. But we just have to make sure. And I saw this morning. Sometimes my light on my phone, when I'm trying to do it, I can vary the intensity of the light. And sometimes I try not to make it shine as bright, but other times it has to. As long as the light is on, it doesn't necessarily matter how bright it is. Light is light. So wherever we are in our situation, wherever we are in our life, we can be that light. So when you go back to your situation, when you go back to your job, when you go back to your home, you know, I find it really, really hard, if I'm being honest, for my light to shine in 11 St. James Avenue, Bolton, where my life is. That's where I find it the hardest, you know, when my kids are doing my head in. Don't laugh, it's not funny. When I get home from work and I feel, do you know what, I've given my best today to the people at work and I'm tired, I really have to remind myself, what's my example to my family? It's great being this great person outside my walls, but what am I when I shut the door? What do they see? It's more important that my kids and my wife get better of me, because they'll see, why, you're being a bit of an hypocrite there, Dad. You're doing all this and then you come in and lose your rag with us sometimes. But it's okay as well to be human. It's okay. We sang earlier about hope arising. And then I've talked about faith. Faith is, as it says at the beginning of that, is what you cannot see and hoping for. So it's hope as well. So stand up for me, please. We can have the lights back on because that little kid doesn't like it. It is understandable. But as we sing, whatever song we sing, and I don't know what it is because I've not looked, I just want you to think, what opportunities do you have in your life to be commissioned? There's kind of three things. One, you might just be at the start of it, like Nardos was. But if you are at the start of it, look at the stories, what people have said, and take hope from those. Take encouragement from those. You might have been in a job for years, and you're thinking, what's next? Just keep doing what you were doing. Have the patience. Keep working. And you might be in that person, or you might be at that phase where you're going, I might not see what I see. But if you see it in the spirit, if you see it in your heart, you've seen it. Your role, your job, whatever that might be, you might be here to set up the next people. On a £2 coin, it says standing on the shoulder of giants. We're all here in this building because nearly 100 years ago, some bloke stood on town hall steps, because then somebody bought a building. Then somebody decided we needed to do this. Then we have the Life Centre. In 30, 40 years, 100 years, 200 years, if any of you are still here in 200 years, that'd be amazing. We won't be. But what will we have done to make sure that we are lifting up the people around us? Where are we shining a light on someone's path, on someone's feet? Shine a light onto the feet, because sometimes all we need to know is the next step. And it says that in the Bible, because if the torch is on the floor, you can see where you're going. If the torch is looking up ahead, you can't see what's in front of you, and that can make us stumble. And if we see what's ahead of us sometimes, we might just go, nah, that's not for me, thanks, and go away. So as we sing, think, reflect, do what you need to do. Yeah. And thank you very much.